I don't very often get to introduce my son-in-law, but I ask now that you would lift him up in your prayers and that you would give your kind attention to him as I present my son-in-law, Elder Adam Yates.
Good evening. I would bet that there's probably as many people tuned in on live stream as there is sitting in front of me tonight. And so to that end, I would welcome all of you who are on live streaming. I know that as Jose and I left Golden Valley today, that Chuck and Audrey had said that they were going to be tuning in. So I suppose it's good for you guys to see me again. And for all of those who have taken the opportunity to have this avenue of live streaming to continue your fellowship with the Lord today, I want to welcome you and hope that that you are feeling the presence of the Lord moving and working within your life. I think sometimes when there's not a lot of people in front of us, we feel a pressure to make it short or something like that. And I don't know if I don't intend on preaching a long sermon tonight, but it wasn't because I knew that there wasn't going to be a lot of people here. It's just the thoughts the Lord put on my mind. But I do have a message. You know, as I sat down, as earlier this week, I was preparing for traveling up to Golden Valley, and the Lord put thoughts on my heart. You know, there was also some other thoughts that have been on my mind this week, and I wanted to kind of explore those things tonight. And so, if you're going to follow along, I'm going to start in Mosiah in the first chapter, and I'm going to read one verse here on page 218, which is commonly read with the verse following it, but I'm only going to read verse 119. And I want to kind of discuss some things that the Lord has kind of, I guess not opened my mind to, but helped to remind me of as far as my relationship with Him, as far as what our relationship with God the Father and Christ His Son, the working of His Holy Spirit, what His purpose is and what He's trying to do and how we can correlate that to our daily life. And so that's what I want to kind of discuss today. So I'm going to read in Mosiah chapter 1, only verse 119. And it says, "For the natural man is an enemy to God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever." And, you know, the thoughts that about my sermon tonight is actually because of Tony and Lindsay and little Blakely, as I was considering, you know, these blessings of all these children and stuff that we have in our local and that we keep seeing, you know, I came to, and, you know, I look at my son, my youngest son, Zane, the fact that he's probably going to be our last baby. And so I'm cherishing every moment and every opportunity to rock him and things like that. You know, I have remembered that this truth. And as I look around here, there's most everybody here has children. And so only a few of you won't understand this, or at least won't have experienced this yet. And Tony and Lindsay, although they are now parents, have yet to experience this, is that from the very moment that your child that is so small and needs you so much or enough, from the very moment they're able to move, they begin to move away from you. From the moment that your child begins to, you lay them on the ground and they start to roll around and squirm and all that, they're constantly moving away from you. And when they begin to crawl, they don't crawl to you, they crawl away from you. And when they walk away from you. And this is, you know, as I consider this, this really is the nature of man. As we consider God our Father, you know, this is a truth of mankind that we walk away from wisdom oftentimes. We walk away from steadiness. We walk away from safety. We walk away from nurture. It's just the way mankind is. But, you know, in not too long, you know, as this little baby now that Brian's holding grows a little bit older and she begins to move, she's not going to be moving towards you, Lindsay. She's going to be moving away from you. And her entire life from that point will be done extending her reach away from you. And, you know, as I look at Zane now, and you know, he certainly comes to me, but, you know, the vast majority of his life is spent getting away from me, exercising his independence, as all the other three of my children have done, and as every parent who is in here has seen their children and has watched them do the same thing. And, you know, I'm certain that, you know, for those like Brother Mark and Jim and Don and Betty, whose children have significantly grown, no offense, Brian, or Kathy, but, you know, as you've watched them and they've gone out and all that, that in some ways you long for those times again when they were a little child and you could hold them. And you wish for those times when you could nurture them in your arms again. And so with those thoughts, you know, the Lord put this on my mind, that really what is this nature of man that makes us an enemy to God is that from the moment that we really begin to become conscious of our actions and of opportunities and options in the world and of our own freedom of thought, we begin to walk away from Him. And, you know, to that end, God, as a Father, has enacted and has done several things in an effort to draw us back to Him, to continually keep motioning to and attempting to bring us, to keep us close to Him. You know, I don't want to embarrass my son Easton, but, you know, there was a time when he would love to just sit on my lap and hold him. Now, you know, he's huge. But I'd love to have him do that again. And this is the nature of man, is that we seek to walk away from the Lord and from His guidance and from His, oftentimes from His love. And we want to exercise our independence. And in those things, we become enemy to God, because those things that motivate us in life, the worldliness that is within mankind, which entered in that sin in the garden, it always draws us away. Always draws us away. I want to go to Alma in the third chapter. And I want to read some things, because, you know, my sermon tonight is really, you know, as I look at what my responsibilities are as a father, you know, the example before me is our Savior and is God the Father. And what things have they done? What things are active, spiritually active and working and moving to draw me to that end of salvation? As a father and as any one of us parents who want good things ultimately for our children, what things has God done to try to draw us back as we exercise our right of independence and walk away? And so I want to read, and I'm going to jump around just a little bit here in Alma in the third chapter. I'm going to begin in verse 57. And it says, "Behold," it says, "He sendeth an invitation unto all men, for the arms of mercy are extended towards them. And He saith, Repent, and I will receive you. And He saith, Yea, He saith, Come unto me, and you shall partake of the fruit of the tree of life, and you shall eat and drink of the bread and waters of life freely." You know, we do that to our children. Even now, as my son Zane, you know, he's been walking for a couple months now, and, you know, when I want him close, and so I extend my arms to him. Come to me. Come to me. If he's injured, if something makes him sad or something, come to me. I invite him to come towards me. And of course, he has that choice, whether or not he's going to come to me. In his little 14-month-old brain, who knows what's going on. And sometimes he comes to me for that comfort, and sometimes he goes elsewhere. But the invitation is there. And for my children, you know, the invitation is always there. If they want to come to me, they want to be there and have me hold them and feed them and strengthen them and encourage them. Give them advice and direct them. Just like God the Father is willing to do that always for us. His arms are always extended. He wants to draw us close to Him because He loves us. Because we are His children. Because we are, in as much as we come from Him, we are a part of Him. Verse 62, it says, "Behold, I say unto you that the good shepherd doth call you, and in His own name He doth call you, which is the name of Christ." You know, the Savior cries out. He calls to us. He whispers to us by His Spirit. And you know, it's not a one-time thing. When we walk contrary, when we walk away, you know, the Lord whispers. He calls to us. And when we cry out to Him, He hears us. A Father who is interested in us, He calls to us. To this day, I guarantee that if my father were still here and he spoke, I could understand and hear his voice. I know exactly what it would sound like. And do we hear? Are we in tune? When the Lord calls to us, when He reaches out His arms, when we're about to walk into danger. You know, the other day, last Sunday, my daughter is coming up in through here and she's walking through the parking lot not paying any attention and almost gets run over by a car and frightened her. And I put my arms out, "Grace, come here." And she come running over to me. You know, the Lord calls to us. He calls to us when we need strength and encouragement. He calls to us to protect us. He calls to us like a father. And yet we don't have to always listen. And yet His invitation is always there. The invitation of the Lord to be there and to be with Him and close. Verse 68, "Therefore, if a man bringeth forth good works, he hearkeneth unto the voice of the good shepherd, and he doth follow him. But whosoever bringeth forth evil works, the same becometh a child of a devil, for he hearkeneth unto his voice and doth follow him." You know, we serve those who we follow. And you know, the decisions that we make, you know, I've come to this place in my life where I recognize that, you know, this whole life is a choice. Everything in life is a choice. And I try to teach my children, you know, as soon as they're able to hear and comprehend what I'm saying, you know, that we choose what happens to us. We make a choice. My life, my job is dictated by the gift and by the curse of choice. And who we choose to follow, what voice we choose to heed, is who we are serving ultimately. And so the Lord cries out to us. He calls to us. He calls to us through His Spirit as we pray or as we're walking. How many times have you been somewhere and you've been walking down the road or driving down the road or something and the Lord speaks to you? I've had Him do it to me. "Adam, what are you doing? Adam, have you thought about this?" Calling to me, reaching out His arms and asking that as a child I come to Him. And so, you know, as a father, I consider that one of those things that I need to be is I need to be open and my arms extended towards my children, not just to physically hold them and comfort them and all that, but to spiritually be a strength to them because my Father is that to me. You know, as a parent, God gives us, God tells us that we're supposed to exercise some control over our children. You know, what has He done? He's given us rules. And we give our children rules. And you know, life has rules. I tell this to my children, you know, when they disobey, you're never going to get away from rules. There's always going to be rules. And you know, every day as a police officer, I deal with people who break rules. And you know, I tell people sometimes, it doesn't matter if you like them or not. By being present in this land, you are subject to rules. It's the way it is. You have no choice in it. It doesn't matter if you don't like that you can't drive 50 miles over the speed limit. Doesn't matter. It's a rule. And you're never going to get away from it. And there are rules that God puts forth that we will never get away from. But He puts them there for a reason. And you know, how many times with our children we tell them, "Hey, don't do something." And what is the point of that rule? We're warning them, "Listen, if you do that, it's going to hurt you." You know, the Lord, He gives us rules and He tells us, He gives commandments, things to live by, because if we disobey, it'll hurt us. You know, there are always risks involved with walking contrary to rules. When, you know, in the course of my job, I deal with people and they drive too fast or something and inevitably they get in a car accident and there's a consequence to the fact that they drove faster than they control their vehicle. There's always consequences if we break rules. But they're put there in order that we could be encouraged and strengthened, that we could be guided by it and ultimately kept safe and directed towards a reward. I, if you're following along on page 551 in the book of Helaman, the second chapter, God is the Father. He gives us rules. He gives us commandments and things. And you know, I look at things like the Old Testament, and we look at the law of Moses and all of these ordinances and things, and you know, it wasn't just God deciding, hey, I wonder what strange rule I can make up to tell people they have to follow. The things God asked them to do made sense. Makes sense to wash your hands after you touch a dead person. Right? It makes sense back then to stay away from pigs because they're filthy and disgusting. It makes, you know, the Lord did things and he made commandments and things. He asked them to do things. It made sense. And those commandments obviously had greater implications in the realm of the gospel. But you know, the Lord gives rules, gives commandments because they make sense. They keep us safe. They give us direction and guidance for life. And so I want to read in Helaman, the second chapter, and I'm going to read verses 25 and 26. Helaman, as he's speaking to his sons, and he says, "Thus we may see that the Lord is merciful unto all who will in sincerity of their hearts call upon His holy name. And thus we see that the gate of heaven is open unto all, even to those who will believe on the name of Jesus Christ, which is the Son of God. Yea, we see that whosoever will lay hold upon the Word of God, which is quick and powerful, which shall divide asunder all the cunning and the snares and the wiles of the devil, and lead the man of Christ in a straight and narrow course across that everlasting gulf of misery which is prepared to engulf the wicked, and land their souls, yea, their immortal souls, at the right hand of God, in the kingdom of heaven, to sit down with Abraham and Isaac and with Jacob and with all our holy fathers, to go no more out." Here this man of God is telling his sons, he says, if you're willing to lay hold on the Word of God, the rules, the commandments, the promises, the prohibitions, those things of God. He says it's gonna help you to see all of the cunning and all of the snares, all those things that are going to hurt you. The reason why I tell my kids not to touch the grill when I'm grilling. You know why it's a rule that they stay away from it. If they listen to those things, it's going to keep them safe from the stuff that might potentially hurt them. When I give my kids rules that we're not going to fight with each other, we don't just hit somebody, and they try to figure out why, and I tell them, well, you know, when you get to be my age, if you just get upset and hit somebody, I'm going to take you to a place called jail, and you won't be able to get out. You know, we give these rules to caution and to help our children to see that there are things that they ought not do for their welfare, for their safety. And God the Father has done those things. He's given us the directors, the guidance in the Scriptures, in the impression that the Holy Spirit gives us. Have you ever had that time when you went to make a decision and the Lord says through His Spirit, don't do that. Don't do that. In the course of my job, there's been several times where, you know, as I'm driving around, I see a person who does something. I'd like to stop and talk to him. I'd like to pull over a vehicle and as I'm preparing to do it, the Lord says, don't. Don't do it. Why is that? Why does He do that? Because the Lord as a Father is actively working within our life. To what end? To bring us back to Him eternally. To save us. He gives us rules. He gives us commandments. And it's not just things that are don'ts. I've heard a lot of people say, well, you know, God is just a God of don't do. Well, no, He's a God of promise. He's a God of promise. He's a God who, out of love, wants to give us good gifts. To that end, He gives us rules. Jeremiah, in the 29th chapter. Jeremiah, in the 29th chapter, I'm going to read verses 11 through 14. The Lord says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Isn't that, as a parent, what we want to do? You know, we try to do all we can to help our children to be prosperous, to be happy, to have a peaceful life. How many people have said, "I just want my children to have a better life than I do"? You know, God the Father, He has thoughts towards us. He thinks. He has a direction that He wants you to go and an ultimate place He wants you to end up. He wants peace and not evil. And He wants you to have that expected end, a hope in the end of life. Verse 12, "Then you shall call upon Me, and you shall go and pray unto Me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek Me and find Me when you shall search with Me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, And I will gather you from all the nations and all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again to the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. You know, the Lord says, if we're willing to listen to Him as He's desiring to speak to us, He's going to free us from captivity. And you know, just because we live in this greatest nation ever known, where we have the right to choose to do all the things that we wish to, does not mean that we don't have captivity present with us. We're captive in this nation, subject to the things that we see around us every day, all the influences that touch us, the world, sin, all those things. You know, it can hold us captive. And yet the Lord says that if we're willing to accept the thoughts that He has towards us, the thoughts of happiness and peace, and call upon Him and seek Him, to go to Him when He's reaching out His arms, He's going to free us from that captivity. Going to free us from all of those struggles and difficulties. What a precious promise. What an example of a father. And so God is ever present with us, and He gives us rules, and we could go through the scriptures and lay them out over and over again, the things He asks us to do and why. But you know, He makes it plain here in these two scriptures that He has a direction that He wants for us, and He'll guide us to it. And He gives us rules, and He gives us commandments, and He gives us the scriptures to lead us and direct us so that we're not tricked, so that we're not taken by surprise, so that we know where we should step and where we shouldn't step. Just like the song that our children sing. And so we ought to consider that. Consider that as a child, even as a 34-year-old child, I continue to turn and walk away from God the Father, practice my independence, and walk away from Him, just like my children have walked away from me as soon as they were able to. I need to remember these things, and we need to remember these things. Isaiah, in the 43rd chapter, I'm going to read. I'm going to read verses 1-7, and then I'm going to jump to verse 13. You know, as a parent, you know, we do these things to help our children through. None of my children learned how to ride a bike without me walking with them and holding them. Not a single one. Not a single one of my children learned how to walk without holding my fingers as I help them along. None of them, you know. There's things now that they want to do, and so often they require my help. And that's what a father does. It helps to direct them and guide them and be with them through trials and struggles. And we do it now with our children. We do it with our adult children. God does it with us. He's there with us. He's present, and He helps us. He's with us. So I'm going to read in Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. I'm going to read verses 1-7 and then verse 13. It says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by my name, thou art mine." You know, the Lord's called us, He's named us, and He's given us the name of His Son, a name. You know, there was a time in this country, and it was throughout the world, where for the sake of someone's good name, they would fight and die. Because a name was that important. Because it held with it a heritage and a reputation and a blessing. And you know, God has seen fit to put the name of His Son upon us. Christ was willing to place His name upon us and redeemed us. What a thing. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore I will give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I'll say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." And verse 13, "Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? You know, God the Father, as a loving Father, He promises us that, you know, when we are willing to accept of His arms open wide, that He's with us. When we feel like we're overcome by water, by rivers that overflow, by a trial of fire, He promises us that He's going to be there with us. And why? In verse 4 He says, "'Cause since thou wast precious in my sight." Precious. As our children, you know, we want to do good things for them, and we want to help them, and we want to bless them in their life because they're precious, they're loved. We have this deep affection for them. So we are in the eyes of the Savior. So we are in the eyes of the Father. Precious. And to that end, He's willing to be with us through every trial and difficulty that we have. As we learn to walk, He holds our hand. He helps us. He blesses us. He's with us. He directs us. You know, there's this thing that is probably one of the more difficult things. In life, as adults and as, you know, people with our own will and things, is to accept chastisement. You know, as a father, as a police officer, I would not have a job if parents did their job. I wouldn't have a job if parents did their job. Certainly people would still make choices to do bad things, but you know, the lack of parenting, people unwilling to say no, people unwilling to chastise their children. And you know, if we're not careful, we as a people can become influenced by the things of this world that says, "Oh, you can't judge me. Oh, you can't say anything against me." And that attitude can begin to soak in to our thought process and our mind. But you know, from the very beginning, God has put up the fact that as a father, He corrects. That as a father, He corrects. He gave correction to Adam in the garden. From the very beginning, He corrects. And in Hebrews, in the 12th chapter, you know, the scripture concerning chastisement, the correction of the Lord that we all know. And you know, this is something that, you know, because the Lord loves us, He corrects us. He corrects us through the scriptures that sit before us. How many times have you been doing something and you go to look in your scriptures and do your studies and you read something and you think, "Wow, man, I shouldn't have done that. This says here." Or how many times have you taken an action, you've done something, and you felt the guilt, the terrible guilt, as the Lord rests upon your heart and corrects you and chastises you? Why does He do that? Well, because in the end, He wants to give you that good gift of salvation, and you can't receive that salvation if you're unwilling to follow His rules and if you walk contrary to Him. So He corrects because of His love. And so in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, beginning in verse 5, "Have you forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children? My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth." If you don't feel the correction of the Lord when you study through your prayer life, when you hear a sermon preached, as you hear people share experiences, if there's not times when you feel the correction of the Lord, then you are not listening to the voice that is calling to you. None of us are perfect. All of us walk contrary to the will of the Lord. And because He's a loving parent, He calls to us and He corrects us and He speaks to us. And sometimes it's a gentle whisper and sometimes He smacks us upside the head. And just like my children, you know, there's things that it's like, I don't know that I can spank Zane enough for getting into the garbage can. And he knows that it's coming when he walks over there and he looks, and every one of you parents knows they do this, and they look at you and then they touch it. And he chooses to not be chastened by the previous time that I spanked him and to receive another one. We have a choice to accept the chastening, the correction of the Lord. If you endure chastening, verse 7, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you're bastards and not sons. If you don't have chastisement from the Lord in your life, you are not his son. You are not his daughter. You do not have a relationship with the Lord. If you walk through life, you know, as I drive around all night, I listen to some of these political shows and all that, and of course, we have this man who's running for president, and you know, evangelicals and people and Christians are kind of up in arms. You know, he had an interview at one point, and they asked him, well, you know, have you ever repented for something? And he says, no, I don't know that I ever have had to. Never been chastened. Never considered that he would have to be chastened. And if we're not careful, that can be us. That we walk through life thinking that anything we do is okay. That's the attitude of the world, but that's not the attitude of a father dealing with the children that they love who wants to draw them to him. Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. You know, I try to sleep during the day because I work at night, and my children find themselves oftentimes disciplined because they can't be quiet. They're disciplined for my pleasure because I like to stay awake as I drive around all night and work and all that. You know, we do things as parents. Sometimes we discipline, we change our children, you know, because I don't like them chewing with their mouth open or whatever it is, you know. But the correction that the Lord gives us is eternal. It's to give us that eternal opportunity, that if we would listen to the correction that He offers us, it will bring us to that place that He has promised to give us. Now, no chastening for the present time seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. I have never had a child yet who has asked to be spanked, nor who has thanked me afterwards. But when they have listened to and heeded the good counsel that their parents have given them, their life is better. And when we heed and listen to the good counsel that our Father in heaven gives us, our life is better. He does it for wisdom's sake. He does it for the sake of love. You know, if we were to read, and I'm not going to, but the 51st Psalm, you know, David, if I believe the scholars and all that, he wrote that psalm after he was confronted by Nathan, after he had committed adultery and murder. And you know, he accepted the chastisement of the Lord. And we read his words where he says, create in me a clean heart. I'm sorry. Sorry that I did that. Wash me. Make me clean again. How many times have we got after our children and after we finished, they come to us, Dad, I'm sorry. I won't do it again. I'm sorry that I disappointed you. We should feel that in our lives. We should feel the chastisement of the Lord and the joy that comes through forgiveness. The joy that comes through correction. We should feel that from the Father. And if we're not feeling it, we're walking contrary and continuing to walk contrary. And we ought to consider that. Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Reproofs, chastisement of instruction, it's the way of life. We will always walk contrary to the Lord from time to time. Reproof, correction from the Lord, chastisement. It's the way of life. Not just the way of life here on earth, but it's the way to obtain eternal life. The correcting, the directing of the Lord. You know, there's, as a parent, and all of us do this as parents, is when our children do good things, we want to reward them. And that's one of those things, you know, I don't think we should ever try to sell the gospel to say, well, if you do good things, God will bless you. But God does promise that He'll bless us when we're willing to be obedient and follow Him. And those things should not be downplayed, and those things should be cherished. You know, when my children do a good thing, I have no problem going to Yogurtini and letting them fill it with candy, you know. Got no problem doing that. If you guys haven't been to Yogurtini, you guys are missing out. Who hasn't been there? Karen? Get out of here. all these frozen yogurt, and then there's a whole huge buffet full of candy and stuff you can put on top of it. It's awesome. I'm more than willing, when my kids do good things, to take them there. And, you know, in some ways, the promise of blessing motivates them. And, you know, the promise of blessing should motivate us. Because what is the Lord promising us? He's promising us salvation, eternal happiness and joy. And the promise of blessing should motivate us. But, you know, God rewards us for obedience. You know, my children, they do the thing that I ask them to do. And, you know, sometimes I give them money. Sometimes, you know, I give a reward. And God does those things. He rewards us. I'll give you one example here, and this is easy, and we all probably know this, in tithing. In our tithing, when we're obedient and pay our tithing, in Malachi, the third chapter, the Lord says in verse 10, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall be not room enough to receive it." Have we received that blessing? I'm certain everyone in here has felt that blessing of God. A reward for following after and being obedient to His commandments. God as a Father rewards us because He loves us, because He wants to do good things for us. Hebrews in the 11th chapter, verse 6, you don't need to turn there, we all probably know it, says, "But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." You know, what is that reward that God gives us when we diligently seek Him? You know, the Lord rewarded me with a family when I diligently sought Him. The Lord rewarded me with a good job when I diligently sought Him. The Lord rewards us when we're willing to take the things of the gospel and to try them, to serve one another, to be willing to go to a brother or a sister when they've wronged us, when they've hurt us, or when we've hurt them, and try to make restoration. There's a reward that comes of that, a closeness and a blessing. The Lord gives us blessing. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He does good things for His children, just as a father. Just as a father does good things and a mother does good things for their children. 3 Nephi in the 6th chapter, you can turn to this one. Page 642. Christ, as He's here speaking, He says in verse 19, "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him?" So if you, being this natural man that walks away from the good and does the things that are contrary to God's will, if we still know how to treat our children well and to do good things for them, how much better things will a righteous God do for us out of His love as a result of our diligence in seeking Him? So we were in Golden Valley today. Jose talked about the promise that God gave, you know, that He's going to prepare a mansion for us, some wonderful place for us, because He wants to give us the good gift of eternal life, because He loves us. So I want to have you consider these things right now as you go home tonight and as you consider this day and as you consider our Father in heaven and what things He does for us and why. And as a parent or as an aunt or an uncle or a grandparent, consider, are you following in the example of God the Father? And are you accepting the things that God the Father wants to do to you? You know, Tony and Lindsay, at some point your daughter is going to walk away from you, and she will continue to do so. And, you know, my children continue to walk away from me someday. Hopefully they won't live with me anymore. And, you know, I'm sure that'll be happy and that'll be sad that my children have walked away from me in that physical aspect. But my hope and prayer is that they never walk away from me spiritually, that they never walk away from our Father spiritually, that they're willing to heed Him as He calls, His correction, listen to His rules, take the direction and the guidance from His Holy Spirit, and be willing to receive and reap the rewards of obedience that God wants to give. So I hope that these thoughts that the Lord's put on my heart are something working and effective for you as you consider your walk before the Lord. Thank you very much for your time. And I want you to know, Mom, that's after our introduction and everything, that's about 45 minutes. Thank you.